Our solar system was moving toward Vega's hard brightness too, but the primordial plasma of the universe guided Akan's spaceship through the many frequencies of time. Galaxies rotating eternally in the uncharted void of intergalactic space give out a life impulse that is picked up by the sensitive instruments in Akan's spaceship. These instruments monitor the life cycles of galaxies, stars and planets and detect the amount of plasma within a solar system. The plasma output of a star is important for a system of planets, Partikusov-Lali for a star like the Sun with its sunspot cycles, which are affected by the movements of its planets. Jupiter, as a small star, triggers sunspots by increased magnetism when it is in a favorable position. This in turn affects Earth's atmosphere, cause soft-ing weather changes as low-pressure troughs cross geometric regions of the planet's surface. Vast climatic upheavals can occur. The planet can also trigger earthquakes on Earth by disturbing the equilibrium of the Sun, because our planet is completely affected by what happens to the Sun day we here are dependent on the star of our system. The Sun controls our atmosphere, our weather and our climate, and when Jupiter, the second waxing star of this system, aligns with Mars and the other planets of this solar system, the equilibrium of the Sun will be disturbed and earthquakes will rock our planet. What supermundane fate are we heading into, since our planet is so vulnerable, so dependent on the star of our system? And yet humans can only understand the immediate environment of their rapsoft-idly decaying world. I experienced the thoughtless selfishness of humanity when we returned to Johannesburg, and we had to struggle alone and abandoned. Oh, how alone one can be in this crowded world when one suddenly real soft-izes there is nobody, nobody in all the world, to turn to in one's hour of need. One is really alone, and the devastating realization explodes in the mind like a nightmare. Family, friends and strangers are all cast in one mold, indifferent, detached, unaware of one's struggle for existence in a hostile world. The horror of struggling for David and myself in the noisy racket and smog of a hostile city proved too much for me, and I became ill. The cold hand of fear would grip my heart as I lay awake in the night and wondered what would become of us and where our next meal would come from. There was only enough money in the bank to pay the rent and keep a roof over our heads for another month, and I experienced what millions of others on this planet suffer in their struggle for existence in a cruel eco-soft-nomic system. I maintained an outward calm, however, and David knew nothing of our close encounter with dire poverty. He was wonderful and kept my strength going through his care and consideration, despite being all day at school and up half the night with homework. He is indeed an advanced human being. Knowing the meaning of starvation, one becomes aware of the dire sufferings of animals across this planet too. There are many beings with soft-out enough to eat while people eat their fill and gorge on the delights of food. What does one do when one has no money for sustenance in a world like this? What does one do when one has no home to shelter in and the people one knows and helped in the past pass by uncaring or unknowing? As long as they themselves are all right, they continue to step on others to gain their daily bread, denying the right of bread to all soft-ins by their selfish, acquisitive habits, guarding their land and possessions like creatures of the lower planes. Unable to turn to fellow humans in my hour of need, I turned to the universe instead. I knew the universe never takes one thing away unless something else is given. The major had cooled a few days previously. I had fainted at work in the airless bookshop, with a storm raging outside, and I had been worried about David's getting home from school. The major sent me home in a taxi and told me not to go back to work. He brought us a large hamper of delicious food and a bottle of champagne. He must have been keeping a watch on me all the time, I thought. He must have known of our desperate plight as I struggled to work to keep a roof over our heads. But my strength was going. A hemorrhage set in, and he rushed me to the hospital where they tied me up with drips and inject soft-ins in preparation for a major operation early the next morning. The major stayed with me, never leaving my side until they wheeled me into the operating theater. As death touched my heart again, I could clearly see into the time field of the future. I knew my reincarnation cycle on this planet was nearly at an end and my life would turn full cycle and take me back to Meeton, where I could remain with Akon as I had in a previous life on Venus. The truth spread the warmth of its enfolding wings about me. No matter what happened on this planet, I would never be alone again. I belonged to Akon, I was born of his race. Death held no fear for me, but only a blessed release from the confines of Earth's time and the cycle of reincarnation here, where humankind is on a lower plane of existence. There is no death, but merely a transition to energy of the life field and back to matter again in the cycle of life. One evening, I opened my eyes to see the Major bending over the stark white hospital bed. His face was gentle and concerned, and his eyes were full of love as he looked into my eyes. I held out my hand and thanked him for all he had done. He clasped my hand in both his warm, firm hands. "Go to sleep now," he said. "Don't worry anymore. I'm going to look after you both from now on. Everything will be taken care of." And he bent over still more and kissed me. David came to the other side of the bed and kissed me. His arm was in plaster, cradled in a sling. "Oh," I sighed, then fainted again. Then, as if from a great distance, I heard him say, "It's all right, Mum. Only a broken wrist when I fell over the hurdles at school. I'm staying with Peter and his family, and they are taking wonderful care of me." The acute, burning pain of the hysterectomy incision brought me around again, and I saw the sister coming with a hypodermic syringe held high. She pulled down the bedclothes and jabbed me in the buttocks with the blunt needle, which hurt. With a sigh, I closed my eyes and floated away into the dreamless sleep of the drug she had given me. Was I dreaming, or did the Major and my son come here last evening? I asked the sister next morning. "Indeed they did, and what a charming, handsome gentleman the Major is," she sighed. "He left these beautiful red roses for you, and said he would be taking you home soon, where he will nurse you back to health again. In fact, here he is now. I will leave you alone together." She arranged the roses in a vase beside the bed. Their fragrance filled the ward with hope again. Although it meant being netted completely into the military machine, at least I would be taken care of. I felt sure that Akon had seen to that. The sick politics of the world had disgusted me beyond measure and I wanted nothing more to do with them. Politics was being used by the barbarians of this world. People of Earth will one day search within the skies of truth. They will find the distant shores of a glorious land, bathed by the seas of utter soft hyphenity and blessed by the glory of light from three stars. There, the great white seabirds circle ever higher in the dark sapphire blue of the sky, ever upward until they appear as mere specks in the far reach of the day. The music of the spheres vibrates through the air in harmony with the birds' flight as their vast white wings stretch out to gain even greater height over the dark blue seas. Up, up into the ice blue of the higher sky, where the directional pull is found, the white seabirds move with the tides of music to other isles set in the deep sapphire seas. The dancing rhythm of all life is attuned to the song of the universe. The eternal dance of the micro-atom streams out from stars, and life is gen-soft-aerated on myriad Earths within a galaxy where the limitless tracts beyond are kept within bounds by the minimum temperature of the trackless void. The spark of life within a planet is the residue of a star. All planets are cooled down stars in their everlasting process of evolution from mass to density. The volcanic breath within them forms the light of the atmosphere, which creates life through its interaction with radiation from the stars. This radiation collides with the molecules of planetary atmospheres to create the immortal light of electricity, and the animated particles wriggle and writhe throughout the radiant atmosphere, each with its own bright electric charge. The divine essence of life continues always. The soul awakens to knowledge in the higher spheres, where the soul or life field is attracted to a planet evolved in a similar magnetic field, and where one can be born again into matter or denser vibrations from the energy of death. It is merely a transition, a metamorphosis in all living things. There is no death, but merely a transition to energy of the life field and back to matter again in the cycle of life. A planet's firmament holds humankind within the bond of life, and the glory of the universe is humanity's heritage. Humankind will soar into the splendor of star-filled space as the stars shed their radiance to help us find this glorious road to the stars. Humanity will come out of this world, will come out of the shadows of strife, and will move with the winds of space to other planets in the light of the universe, where no minor discord can darken the glory of light. We can create harmony throughout the fathomless depths of inter-soft-stellar space, where our minds can reach out to contact other minds in telepathic communication. The spatial void acts as a transmitter when one tunes in on the same wavelength. Wisdom and love combine with immortality within this universal unity to produce a highly evolved human being who is a part of eternity, existing within that divine spark of intelligence that pervades the entire universe, that harmonious and orderly rhythm called God. I have known love in all its radiant splendor. My heart has a wax soft hyphen end to its glow, forever nourished by the golden waves of light, so that I might reach out and encompass others to give them strength, courage and incentive to live on in a world fast becoming more and more dangerous to exist in. As hydrogen clouds spin and condense into stars and planets, dust clouds are pushed out from the nucleus of our Milky Way galaxy. They form the vast spiral storm in the silky darkness of outer space. They reflect the rose red of divine light in the creation of stars and planets to harbor life within its shell of speeding light, where we all have our being, all made out of stardust. The Alpha and Omega of all things. Epilogue. It is more than 21 years since Akon landed on the top of Flysoft-Ing Saucer Hill in his beautiful spaceship of light. Our son, Ailing, is now 19 years old in Earth time. And yet they have come back. They have not forgotten me. I have lived on borrowed time for 20 years in order to complete this book and bring the knowledge of our environment in the universe to the people of this planet. We live in a vast and awesome universe, but its magnificence can be understood, loved and tamed by harmony. We can think and pick up clues to work out our destiny in this solar system as an energy crisis looms ever closer. Humans of Earth deplete the fossil fuels that have served them so faithfully. Earth has been giving of its bounty through the pastures of time, nature prosoft-vides, but humankind continues to divide. The truth in all its simplicity will be found in the pages of this book. These truths have always been. They are universal, and if humankind can learn to abide by them, perhaps this book can set the example. There is always a reason and an answer to all things in the universe. If only people would think, we could find its bounty. I have found its bounty in all its glorious and magnificent providence. It is simple and free, an intelligent energy that can be manipulated and controlled, loved and trusted. That bounty is light, the electromagnetic wavelength of our galaxy. It has given harmony to the most beloved places, such as the farm, White Elif, at Rosetta, where Flying Saucer Hill rears up like a guardian mountain with a dip in the top, where my late sister and her wonderful husband lived for so many years, and where Akon first found me waiting for him on the mountain top. White Elif is now owned and cared for, and made more beautiful than ever, by a lovely family of very old friends, related to me through marriage. They have taken over the farms, improved the entire country soft-side and made a great success out of their project by constructing a series of lakes down the Great Valley and planting pine trees over the hillsides. What happiness it was to know that Akon had come back, even for so short a time. How the places he touched all changed for the best soft-der. The heights of Kathkin are now part of a beautiful reserve, protected by the government, where only authorized persons are allowed to pass through the security gates. Further away, Flying Saucer Hill has been left untouched by the destructive hand of humankind, protected and cared for by good, civilized people. Where my cottage had been in Parktone, a beautiful park now spreads its joy for the people of Johannesburg. Good comes out of all things when the contacts are right and the people are in harmony. The steep, southern slopes of Flying Saucer Hill tumble into the blue waters of the lake where the wild geese and the ducks skim over the tranquil surface to land and nest in the reeds and willows bordering the far distances of shoreline. I was invited back there, to the rolling hills of my childhood days, and we all celebrated with a delicious luncheon and Rhine wines. I was taken up the slopes of Flying Saucer Hill in a Land Rover, as I could not walk up it anymore because of my heart condition. My hosts were also wonderful and made me feel that I had really come home again. Akon's spaceship hovered over the mountaintop and the excitement was electric. My hosts telephoned other people in the area to tell them to look for the spaceship and watch for it before the mist came down over the hills. I heard the Zulu call out, their voices echoing in the hills, "God has come." The Land Rover was fitted with a two-way radio, so the MESOFT-SAGE went out. I saw Akon again as he came to my side by means of a light ray projected in a three-dimensional image of simple patterns of electronic charges. He was a projection, but I saw him as if in real life. The illusion of his human presence was perfect but for the sensations of touch and smell. By means of this laser light, Akon was able to project three-dimensional images of himself and ailing to speak to me and reassure me of his constant love and thoughts. The proximity of the tube of light in which they were standing felt like the electric mirage had when I had approached its curtain in the mothership, and a prickling sensation rippled through my body. "Oh," I said to them, "can't I come too, even in the laser light, rather than stay here?" "Not at present," Akon said gently. "But within the next 5 years of Earth time, my beloved." Ailing blew me a kiss with his hand. He was as tall and agile as his father and his face was breathtakingly handsome, with an unusual and fast-soft-sinating beauty. Straight golden hair hung to his shoulders and his golden eyes looked into mine with deep love. But the whole image faded away, and there was nothing left. Heartbroken, I turned away. No wonder my heart is now so sorely affected. For the second time, I allowed emotion to take its toll. The first time was many years ago, when my friend Nestle comforted me. She has remained my dearest friend ever since. This was a lesson for me to learn, to understand that change and the process of creation go on forever, and that one must move with the constant change and evolution of the universe. Nothing is ever static. Nothing remains the same. In this way, by realizing that, one moves in harmony and becomes ageless by accepting the inevitable destiny of all things in a changing universe. Akon keeps a constant watch and surveillance on our sun and our solar system. It is not static and finished, it is still being formed, still evolving. A second star will one day light up our solar system. The black and orange atmospheric bands of Jupiter's disk cover a warming furnace in which thermonuclear reactions have already started. Thus Jupiter radiates life-giving light to its family of small planets, while a vast vortex storm, the beginnings of sunspots or star material triggered off by magnetism, forms the vast red spot that astronomers have pondered for centuries. Humankind now must learn to adapt to a higher vibratory rate as our atmosphere changes within the forming binary system. Cosmic rays will intensify with the radiation from two stars affecting Earth's climate in dramatic and awesome ways. The outer-aspiring stars, Saturn, Uranus and Neptune, continue to evolve and generate life-giving light to their families of surrounding planets, satellites and debris. They will form still more solar systems as they mature and light up into stars, and as life is gen-soft-aerated within by everlasting change. All planets are cooled down stars. Moons, asteroids, comets and other rocky fragments are merely the debris of stars, pieces of star failure. All things have a reason for being, even black holes, which have bugged scientists for years. These are pockets of minimum temperature within the galaxy where light cannot penetrate, vortex residues that are highly dangerous and can suck any substance or energy into their world's soft-pool gravitation. Spaceships avoid them because the unified field propels soft-ion systems would be nullified by such an encounter. Therefore, space soft-ships move around the equatorial perimeter of such anomalies within the electromagnetic plasma of the galaxy. The universe of light never takes one thing away unless something else is given. I have experienced the effects of a higher vibratory rate from the light of three stars. I know what it will mean to life within the Sun's system, as the entire collection of stars, planets, moons, asteroids and debris moves into the higher octaves of existence, toward its destiny within the Milky Way galaxy. Humans of this system have always thought of their existence as the Alpha and Omega of all things. Their consciousness is barely able to absorb the simplicity of their environment. Mathematical monstrosities are not necessary to explain it all, but their complicated science develops still more into a monster of mathematics and machines. The knowledge of the universe has always existed. Even the Greeks knew of the unified field within the electromagnetic wavelength of light, which comprises all of creation. They brought it into their alphabet. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, a harmonic sound to interact with the four forces of light, the rhythm resonating within our brains. This will give us the alpha rhythm of achievement, where equanimity maintains a part of everyday life so long as no conflict is involved. Universal harmonics is the mathematics used by Akan's civilization. He speaks of harmonic maths, and harmonic affinity with all substance, a resonance tuned to matter itself expressed in terms of light. A simple equation gives us the answer to the unified field propulsion systems for interstellar spaceships. A unified field equation of seven-figure harmonics is the key to space travel. This simple equation is clear in my mind. The harmonic of anti-gravity through the harmonic of light being doubled, alters the geometric of time, and our awareness of reality in the physical sense will shift from one spatial point to another. This is based on space-time geometries within the unified field that permeates all of existence. Of all the many thousands of Earth's scientists, only Einstein could find the simplicity of the universe in his harmonic equation, E equals mc2. He achieved this by maintaining a fairly continuous alpha rhythm, keep soft-hyphening his brain in patterns of relaxed attention. Look what came out of it, though: the atomic bomb, the destruction of material substance and its conversion into pure energy. Akan, as a great physicist, can reverse the process. Physical substance in any desired shape is produced from pure energy, hence the atomic struck soft-trov the interstellar spaceships of light, which are completely smooth and all in one piece. The composition of the material of the spaceship conducts energy to generate the unified field propulsion systems. As a natural celestial object, it achieves a shift in space and time in the soft-quency of light, which is so very different to the nuts and bolts flying saucers constructed by people of Earth, which are purely atmospheric craft and propelled by jets. Akan's spaceship resonates at harmonics tuned to light between the two cycles of matter and antimatter, manifesting in alternate pulses. Therefore, it moves instantaneously through the double cycle within the electromagnetic wavelength of the universe. It uses the fabric of space itself, altering the space-time geometric matrix. The spaceship acts as a protection for the people within it as it changes position through the unified field. We are all creatures of light, composed of microatoms, the ultimate particle. We are built up from a combination of wavelengths of the creative force, which we call light, or God. The universe of light never takes one thing away, but something else is given. My grandson Astley, my daughter's child, is now 4 years old. He is another golden boy, whose blue-gray eyes already have the look of distance, the look of intelligent wisdom that sees beyond the limited hoary soft-zones of earthbound people. Other star children have been born to friends who named them Akon or Claire, immortalizing my beloved and my dear friends from outer space. And what about the planet Earth? Can its teeming billions survive in such a small and vulnerable world? Can their mass leveling and Canfor soft-MITI produce leaders to solve the many problems they will face within the next 5 years, so that they might survive their time and live into ours and join our community of galactic civilizations? The nucleus of our galaxy emits a stream of energy. The light we are all made out of. The release of microatoms of light from oxygen is the source of all life, and microatoms in greater unities are equal to atoms. All of creation is light.